Awesome. Just stay standing on your feet for a minute. I'm going to quickly pray because that's a good thing to do before we look at the Bible. And then let's go for it. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace and for your mercy. And Jesus, we just pray that tonight our hearts would be opened and our ears would be open to what you've got to say to us, Lord. May my words be your words. And Jesus, I just pray that above all, you would be praised and you would get all the glory and all the honor. And everyone said? Amen. Amen. Awesome. Say hi to a few people as you sit down. Nice. How good is it to be in church tonight? Woo! Woo! I'm excited to be in church. Woo! Thanks, everyone. All right, pipe down. For those of you who know me, hello, hi, it's good to see you. I'm so excited. I like talking, so I'm really excited to be talking for the next 3 hours. And no, I'm joking, it's not that long. Two. And for those of you who don't know me, hey, it's great to see you too. Like, my name's Chrissy, and that was the nicest introduction you've ever done. Thank you. Brownie points. My name's Chrissy. I'm married to Andy, who I think's awesome. He's one of my best friends. He is my best friend. And Andy. And he's a dentist. We're currently in the process of buying a new house. It's finally getting there. It's a long story. I'll tell you afterwards. We're hoping to be in before Christmas. And then next year, we'll start popping out some little people, probably, hopefully. Yeah, so, which is scary and exciting, all rolled into a small human being, but it's going to be good. Yeah, are you guys ready for Christmas? Yeah. Yeah. How epic was this afternoon? I love driving up as it's created for Christmas and just seeing all the lights and the Christmas trees and walking in and seeing Olaf. I love Disney. I was like, yeah, Frozen. It's so good. And if you're staying on from Create for Christmas, we'd just like to say, like, we're so pumped that you're in tonight. We love that you're here. Thanks for making the time to come this evening. We hope you have a great evening. I want to tell you a story about a guy named Roger. He's attracted to a woman named Linda. He asks her out to a movie. She says yes, and they have a great time. A few weeks later, they go out again for a meal, and they continue to see each other until basically they're going out, which is obviously a win for Roger and Linda. And one evening, though, when they're driving home, a thought occurs to Linda, and without really thinking, she just blurts it out, and she says, "Do you realise that as of tonight, we've been seeing each other for 6 months?" And then there's this silence. This very long, really awkward silence. To Linda, it seems like it's going on forever. And she's thinking, geez, I wonder if it bothers him that I said that. Maybe he's feeling confined by our relationship. Maybe he thinks I'm trying to push him into some kind of obligation that he doesn't want or isn't sure of. And Roger's like, 6 months. And Linda's thinking, but hey, I'm not so sure I want this kind of relationship either. And sometimes I wish I had a little more space so I had time to think about whether I really want us to keep going the way we are, moving steadily forward. I mean, where are we going? Are we just going to keep seeing each other at this level of intimacy? Are we going to head towards marriage, towards children, towards a lifetime together? Am I ready for that level of commitment? Do I really even know this person? And Roger's thinking, so let me see, 6 months ago. Oh, yeah, February. Oh, I just bought the car from the garage then and... Oh, hang on, my MOT's due. And Linda's thinking, he's upset, I can see him on his face. Maybe I'm reading this completely wrong. Maybe he wants more from our relationship, more intimacy, more commitment. Maybe he has sensed, even before I sensed it, that I was feeling some reservation. Yes, I bet that's it. That's why he's so reluctant to say anything about his own feelings. He's afraid of being rejected. And Roger's thinking, and I'm going to have to get them to look at the engine again. I don't care what those morons say. It's still not moving right. And they better not try and blame it on the cold weather because it's only 12 degrees outside. I paid good money for this car. And Linda's thinking, preach it, thanks, I will. And Linda's thinking, he's angry. I don't blame him. I'd be angry too. I feel so guilty putting him through this. But I can't help the way I feel. I'm just not sure. And Roger's thinking, they'll probably say it's only a 90-day warranty. I'll give them a flipping warranty. And Linda's thinking, maybe I'm too idealistic, waiting for a knight to come up riding on his white horse when I'm sitting right next to a perfectly good person, a person I enjoy being with, a person I truly care about, a person who seems to truly care about me, a person who is in pain because of my schoolgirl self-centered romantic fantasy. And Roger's thinking, warranty, yeah, I'll give them a warranty. Roger, Linda says. What? Says Roger, startled. Please don't torture yourself like this, she says, her eyes beginning to fill with water. Maybe I should have never... Oh, I feel so. Linda breaks down sobbing. What? Says Roger. I'm such a fool, Linda sobs. I mean, I know there's no knight. I know there's no horse. I'm just silly. There's no knight and there's no horse. There's no horse? Says Roger. You think I'm a fool, don't you? Linda says. No! Says Roger. Glad to finally know the right answer. It's that I need some time, Linda says. There is a 15-second pause while Roger, thinking as fast as he can, tries to come up with a safe response. Finally, he comes up with one he thinks might work. Yes, he says. Linda, deeply moved, touches his hand. Oh, Roger, do you really feel that way? What way? Says Roger. That way about time, says Linda. Oh, says Roger. Yes. Linda turns to face him and gazes deeply into his eyes, causing him to become very nervous at what she might say next, especially if it involves a horse. And at last she speaks. Thank you, Roger, she says. Thank you, Roger says. Then he takes her home and she lies on her bed, a conflicted, tortured soul, and weeps until dawn, whereas Roger gets back to his place, opens a bag of Doritos, turns on the television, and becomes immediately involved in a rerun of a tennis match between two Czechoslovakians he has never heard of. A tiny voice in the far recesses of his mind tell him that something major was going on back there in the car, but he's pretty sure there's no way he would ever understand what, and so he figures out it's better if he just doesn't think about it. This might relate to some of us women. The next day, Linda will call her closest friend, or perhaps two of them, and they will talk about this situation for 6 hours straight. In painstaking detail, they will analyse everything she said and everything he said, going over it time and time again, exploring every word, expression and gesture for meaning, considering every possible ramification. They will continue to discuss this subject off and on for weeks, maybe months, never reaching any definite conclusions, but never getting bored with it either. Meanwhile, Roger, while playing squash one day with a mutual friend, will pause before serving and say, Barry, did Linda ever own a horse? Now, obviously, that's just a funny joke and a funny story about the difference between men and women in conversation. But what I'm trying to get at is I want to talk tonight about words. Because I love words. I am one of these people that has the countdown app on their phone. Yeah, don't judge. I love playing Boggle. That's mainly what mine and Andy's date nights consist of. And that's one of the main things I'm looking forward to unpacking when we move in, so we can spice up our marriage again. No, I'm joking. But I love words. And words are all around us. You know, when you're in the army and your corporal shouts, attention, that means all the soldiers know that they have to stand to attention. When you get in the car maybe in the morning and you turn the radio on, or perhaps you're getting on a bus and you've got your iPod or iPhone, because that's mainly what everyone has nowadays, they're the best. You hear the radio and they've got songs and you're blasting out the words because you know these words to this song. You know, Andy mentioned briefly that yesterday we were watching a bit of the rugby. England won, 29-1. But there were 82,000 people in that stadium stood on their feet chanting words to either encourage their team or seriously not encourage the other team. You know, I want to talk tonight specifically about the impact words can have on us. You see, as Christians, we have this book. It's called the Bible, which is also known as the Word of God. It's a fascinating book. It's historically accurate. It's relevant. It's accessible. And it's a gift. It's not a case of you have to read this book to become a good person, because none of us would be able to read it. It's a book that we get to read because God's given it to us. And I want to tell you just a few different instances from a journey that I've been through in my life that I think some of you may be able to relate to in some way or another, because I've had people in my life who have spoken negatively towards me. When I was at school, there was I wasn't very confident with maths, and so I didn't really apply myself. And this maths teacher, my friend from school, was like, yeah. And there was this maths teacher, and he came to me one day and he said, look, I've just found out for the next 2 years that you're in my class. I'm not happy about it. You're not happy about it, but we just got to get on with it. And I was like, okay. Like, it impacted me, okay? There have been people in my life, which there may have been in yours, that have had a responsibility to speak uplifting and encouraging and, you know, to build me up, and they haven't done. And then there's been people in my life who have labelled me as something. And I mean, I fall guilty of labelling myself mainly because of those two first things that I talked about. So to that maths teacher, I was useless. To that person, to those people who should have spoken stuff into my life, I was unloved. Now, obviously, I don't know everyone in here. I don't know what you've been through or what you may not have been through. But I think at some point you'll have been able to relate to that. Like, we've all had words spoken to us that are negative sometimes. Perhaps you were told you wouldn't amount to anything. Or you found yourself in a naff situation because someone's lied to you and said that they'd do something they didn't. Some of you may be able to relate to the trusted one. You know, maybe someone let you down. They said they would be there and they wouldn't. There was no word spoken, and that can impact us too. Or maybe you've been through some real tough situations in life that were not in your control, and actually you just feel like your self-confidence and your self-image is pretty shot. Now, let me talk to you for a second, guys, okay? Women, you'll appreciate me for this. Like the guy in the story, Roger, maybe you just don't think about this sort of stuff. Maybe you're kind of like, words don't hurt me, you know, or maybe you don't express yourself the same way that us females do. Let me tell you this example. You got to the office one day and you got given a task. You got to the office early every day. You've left the office last and your boss didn't give you any recognition or thank you at all for what you'd done and left you thinking, what was the point in doing that? That's no word spoken. Yeah. Words have an impact. Now, as much as I like talking, I don't want to keep sharing about this. I want to tell you tonight that you are amazing. Every single one of you that are sat in this room, you are amazing. There's no one on this planet like you, nor will there ever be. There's no one who has your features, your personality, your character, your gifts and skill set. And, you know, we were at Valley Women on Wednesday and Pastor Shell said that church is a place where life and truth are always spoken. And I loved that. I was like straight away writing it down because that's what I want to talk tonight about. I want to talk to you about this book because you see this book, the Word of God, has the power to speak louder than any of the words ever spoken into your life that did damage. The Word of God has the power to speak goodness over you, to tell you how much you're loved and wanted and replace those labels we've chosen, valued, strong. And this book talks about building homes. It talks about building relationships. It talks about managing time. It talks about businesses. It talks about sex. This book talks about everything that we're interested in. You may never have read this book. You may not be a Christian, but that's what's sweet about this book because it's not just relevant for Christians. It's relevant for all of us. And it tells you about Jesus because we love Jesus and I'm going to mention him. It does tell you about Jesus. It tells you about his life and what he did for us so that we could know him personally. It tells you about how if you give everything to him, you can just see things that never you even dreamed about happening. But when you start to read the Word of God, you discover more of the Word of God and how he is able to break the power of hurtful and negative words that you've begun to identify yourself with. Let me tell you that in this book, in Jeremiah, it says that you have a future. You can combat those words your boss said when you wouldn't amount to anything with, I have a future. There's a chunk in this book called Proverbs, and they're just little nuggets of wisdom for the day to day. Andy will often quote, better to live on the corner of a roof than with a nagging wife. And all the husbands said, amen. There you go. I'd just like to give you, it's true, it's in the Bible. But disclaimer, he only says that when he's thanking God for me. Another proverb in here says that whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools will suffer harm. Like, if you want to be awesome, hang out with awesome people. If you hang out with people who are Muppets, guess what? You're likely to become a Muppet. You know, there's a part in Psalms which are words from other people crying out thanks for what he's done. You know, thank you that he's here, that he's near me when I'm brokenhearted. And this can be used when those people that didn't say those words, it can be used then. And there's a part in this book called Romans which declares that you are more than conquerors. And you can use that to combat the label of I can't do it. You know, we need to know what the Word of God says about you and me. How do we stop those negative and hurtful words and begin to believe what the Word of God says about us? And I just want to give you, I want to spend the next hour and a half giving you three steps to help us on the journey. Not only know what the Word of God says about us, but begin to believe it. So I'm going to read this next bit of my notes. Step one is read it. You know, there's this verse in the Bible, it's Romans 10, verse 17, and it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing, that's good, isn't it? Through the word of Christ. If we want to believe the word of Christ, then we need to hear, we need to learn the word of God. Now, I'm going to take this, because I've started with a bit of a cold this week. It's all good, Jesus heals. Thanks, keep going. Thank you. The only reason I'm taking that is because I'm about to hum something, so it may be awful. I'll sign up to the worship afterwards. I'm going to hum the beginning of a song, and I want you guys to either finish it off or tell me what song it is, okay? It worked. Yes. That's wrong. You're all wrong. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's actually the alphabet, okay? Now, the reason that we learn these tunes, it's because at some point, either Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or alphabet, it's because at some point in our lives, we've learned them. Someone's taught them to us. And, you know, when you learn the alphabet, those 26 letters, which at some point we all have, it enables us to form words, which unlocks sentences, which unlocks speech. You can communicate. Now, reading the Bible is kind of like learning the alphabet, because you may just read one or two verses a day, and you may be thinking, I don't quite get it. How does this work, or what does this mean? But as you continue to do it and you walk more into learning about what God says about you, you begin to see the bigger picture. You begin to see ABC, you begin to see LMNOP, you begin to see all these different letters. And you begin to see and believe what God says about you. Now, when you learn the alphabet, it's not just all but one big chunk. It's not A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, it's A is for apple, B is for ball, C is for cat. And then you get to these random letters that's like X is for xylophone. You know, now, really, unless you like algebra, which funnily enough, I actually do like algebra, even take that math teacher, you know, or unless you're someone who puts kisses at the ends of your texts, X is a pretty random letter, isn't it? But what you find is the more of these verses that you begin to read in the Word of God, you see why X is important. Because the alphabet isn't the alphabet without the letter X. So how do we start to read the Bible? How do we start to read the Word of God and get the bigger picture of what this book says about you? Like I just said, you know, when you don't just do it A, B, C, D, you don't just do it L, M, N, O, P, you don't just do it whatever the other ones I said was, you know, you have to take it just a letter at a time, just a few verses a day. And maybe that's what you need to do this evening or this morning or choose to do. How about perhaps you need to start just simply reading one or two verses a day and see what happens over time. See what a bigger picture begins to be painted, because you're suddenly realizing who God says you are. You know, and if you're thinking, I don't have a Bible, you know, that's cool. We've got loads. We're church. You know, we'd love to give you one. I would love to give you one. And you just need to choose to start. So step one was read it. Step two was speak it. One of my friends who is here, she's in kids, she's actually the reason that I'm at Valley, is Sam Baker, and she is just great. She's married to Pastor James, and together they're heading up Valley Blackpool. Woo! And Sam is just one of the most positive, faith-filled, uplifting, and encouraging people that you will ever meet. Life isn't always sweet, but you'll never hear Sam moaning, and you'll never walk away from Sam feeling like, oh man, wish I hadn't spoken to that person. You know, you always walk away feeling encouraged and uplifted. It's like she's written a book about you. I am Chrissy Carter. You know, it's just awesome. And, you know, for example, I remember last year we were hanging out, and she was just sharing different things that were happening in life. You know what we do when we chat. And she said, oh yeah, this is going on, but life's good. Oh yeah, and this is going on, but life's good. And Sam speaks constantly that life is good. There's a proverb in here in that book about wisdom that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking into your life? Every time I hang out with Sam, I'm encouraged, I'm built up. I'm also challenged to speak more positively. And I love that. I love that challenge, because words are powerful. Words impact us. Because, and let's face it, who would rather be the person who's really encouraging and known for that, or the person that's always in a pity party? You know, like, let's be those people that speak words and speak life and speak truth into situations. You know, maybe you need to begin to read the Word of God so that you can speak the Word of God. If we took the time to learn and read the Word of God and what it says about us, what could we speak into our circumstances and situations which could change them? Are we surrounding ourselves with words of truth and the life, words of truth and life, or words that will degrade and devalue not only who you are, but potentially who other people are? For me personally, I need to see them around me. So I need them on my bathroom mirror. I need them saying I'm pretty in the morning. You know, I need them when I'm getting a drink, you know, at tea time. I need them when I've had that bad day and I'm just getting into bed thinking, oh my goodness, I can't wait for tomorrow. Like, I need to see them around. Maybe you need to see them around. Maybe that's a simple step you need to take tonight, just to speak it out and put it around you so you can see it. Like, put it on your stapler at work, so when you're doing that piece of paper and you think, what's the point in this piece of paper? Your stapler's going, you can do it. Like, start to speak it and see what happens. I want a stapler that does that. Dragon's Den, no. So step one is read it. Step two is speak it. And step three is repeat it. When we learn the alphabet, we don't just sing the song and once and then that's it, we're done. Like I said before, we have to do it again and again. And the reason that we sing it is so that we can make the connection to the tune, and so that when we hear the tune, even though you all sang the wrong song, it can, you know, it takes you back to the letters. And I remember my drama teacher saying, go through your script and do it in a funny voice. So do you remember Mrs. Mackay doing that? It was awesome. And she would tell us to read our script out in a funny voice. So you'd just walk into a drama class in the hall and we'd all be going, you know, and speaking stuff in weird voices, because it helped us to remember them. Now, I'm not saying speak the Bible like, the Lord said to me. Although if that works, go for it, you know. But we need to learn. We need to learn it. And how do we learn? We learn it by reading it, speaking it, and repeating it. We need to repeat it. I was in a place in the last, it was basically about a year and a half ago, 18 months ago, where although externally I was physically and emotionally and mentally safe, every time I got into this situation, I was having panic attacks. I could feel my chest tightening. I was like, you know, and I just hated being in this situation. And it was a situation that I should never have hated being in. And do you know what? These words popped up into my head. That is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I remember going into that situation and just thinking, I need to just do this. I need to just say it. I need to just believe it over and over again, even though my feelings were, that doesn't make sense. I don't feel like I'm having joy right now. I feel like I'm in pain. And I would just repeat it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, over and over and over again. But every time I was in this situation, I would repeat it. You know, that situation that was once really daunting and scary, I love now. I absolutely love it. And like Sam, who always speaks positively, I spoke life into that situation. And I had to repeat it, because I had to repeat it so it became a reality for me. Because before, if I'd just said it once, it wouldn't have been true. I had to go to it again and again and again to realize, and my feelings soon caught up. They do soon catch up. You know, as the band comes up, I want to tell you that the Word of God has the power to unlock who you were truly created to be. This book covers the mistakes we make, the hurt that we go through, and it tells us who we were created to be and about the amazing, amazing Creator who wants to set us free from past and the words that hurt us. Ladies, this book tells you that you are more precious than diamonds. Guys, this book has a whole host of men that are really strong, and that they just go from strength to strength because they're confident in reading and trusting what the Word of God says for them. They use it as a source of and fuel for life. The Word of God has the power to unlock who you were truly created to be. You know, maybe you've never read the Bible. Maybe you've never seen, you've even seen the inside of a Bible. Maybe you don't pick yours up as often as we should. I know I'm guilty of that from time to time. I want to encourage you and almost dare you tonight, church, that what past hurts or current hurts could you overcome if you knew the Word of God and if you just gave it a go? Because I know that the more I get my head into this, words that come my way or situations or things that life throw at me, they don't stink off as much. Like, I'll be honest, 6 months ago, if I'd been asked to preach a message, I would have been crying. I would have been like, I can't do this. I would have been a mess. And Andrew's like, amen. Like, I would have been a mess. And do you know what? Something has changed. And I know the power of this book. And it means that I can stand up here and I can enjoy doing this because I get to do it for God, you know, and I'm so excited because I get to share what this says about you. What would your life look like if you knew this book, what this book said about you? What would your workplace look like if you picked this up, got to know the Word of God, and believed it for you and for your workmates? What would your marriage look like if together you picked up the Word of God? what would Valley look like if we as a church said we were going to pick up the word of God? You know, I don't know what words have been spoken into your life, but I don't want to leave here without telling someone what the word says about them. You know, when you get up tomorrow morning and it's just another Monday morning, the word of God says, all my days are written in your book and planned before a single one of them begins. When you work your backside off at work and you don't get the recognition, the word of God says, the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you feel like you're not worth much, the word of God says, you are a chosen people. When you're in a situation and you just don't know what to do, keep going, because the word of God says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. When you've labeled yourself as a failure and you feel like you can't do it, the word of God says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. When you're scared, don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. When you're lonely, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When someone's words made you feel discouraged and you think you can't do it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're hurting, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. When you're lost, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. When you're tired, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. When defeated, after your season of suffering, God in all his grace will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. When your heart feels broken, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And when other words or lack of words just left you feeling unloved, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's what this book says about you. This book's for the Monday morning. This book's for the Tuesday morning. It's for the Wednesday afternoon. It's for the Thursday evening. This book is for you. It's who you are. And I want you to know tonight that you are loved. You are chosen. You are valued. And no matter what anyone has said in the past about you, this is the truth. This has stood for the last 2,000, 3,000 years, and it will stand forever, because this is the truth.